You're listening to Michigan Politics, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Matt Bach.
So welcome to another edition of Michigan Politics, huh? Podcast? That's the name, Tom. Huh? You like that?
I like it. It's good.
As long as I get a laugh out of somebody. Chris is staring at me blankly. So I am Matt Bach, Director of Communications with the Michigan Municipal League, and I'm very pleased today to be joined by three guests. We have Chris Hackbarth, Director of State of Federal Affairs for the Michigan Municipal League, my organization. And they're also joined by Dina Bosworth, Director of Governmental Affairs for the Michigan Association of Counties, and Tom Frazier, a Legislative Liaison on Government Relations for the Michigan Townships Association. So thank you guys. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
So it's kind of cool to have the cities and the counties and the townships all here represented. You guys are all legislative advocates, or I guess the dirty word might be lobbyists. I don't know if we want to use that word or not.
I like advocate better.
You like advocate better?
I do.
So tell us a little bit. Let's start with Dina. Tell us a little bit about what your role is and what you do specifically for the county, and maybe how that is a little different from what the townships and the cities might be doing.
I think we have more similarities than we do differences, to tell you the truth. So yeah, Director of Governmental Affairs for the Michigan Association of Counties. We represent the county boards of commissioners for all 83 counties in the state of Michigan. So our primary focus is on what it takes to get, the board to operate most effectively. We advocate on
the board of what?
The board of commissioners.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There are primary responsibility, but we also work very, very closely with the other elected officials and their organizations, because whatever affects the sheriff's department affects the county board. Whatever affects the public health department, whatever affects the prosecutor's office, the county board obviously has the power of the purse, and we're the legislative body, and we, have to allocate funding to these departments. And so all the policy changes that the legislature likes to implement that affects their operations, affects the Board of Commissioners, for sure.
And generally speaking, what are counties responsible for as far as public service to residents? What are some of the things they're required to do?
Holy cow. Okay.
The top three.
Top three.
She's got like three slides.
I know. It's like pages and pages and pages of things. Obviously, we have the, countywide elected departments.
Okay.
So we have drain commissioners. We have the sheriffs. We have the prosecutors. We have treasurers. We have clerks, we have register of deeds, so we have elections issues. We have both district and circuit court. We're responsible for child welfare, juvenile justice, public health departments. So that's anywhere from immunizations to inspections of restaurants to septic tanks and permitting.
Right. And a lot of the infrastructure issues like roads is kind of probably the one people know the most.
Many counties have road departments, and then there's also the county road commissions that operate in some counties that don't, aren't necessarily underneath the county board of commissioners.
Okay.
Goodness, where to go?
Well, that was
Equalization department. I mean, obviously there's all kinds of, tax issues that we have to deal with,
right,
and foreclosure issues.
Right.
And,
okay. So interesting.
List is kind of endless.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot to kind of keep track of, I would think.
We say that we're, kind of like the social safety net, and what we do isn't necessarily sexy.
Right.
But until you're in that system, you don't really pay attention to it. But once you're there, it's very, very important.
Right. Our three organizations got to testify with the House Committee of Local Government and Municipal Finance, I think is what it's called now. And I heard you watch your testimony, Dina, and you said that one thing that the county doesn't get, unlike the other, is revenue sharing. Is that correct?
We don't get constitutional revenue sharing. Yeah. We get statutory revenue sharing.
Okay.
That is probably one area that we're not necessarily all aligned on. I mean, we want, local government finance reform, and we want them to recognize that they have significantly underfunded local units of government and really have not held up their share of the deal on statutory revenue sharing.
Right.
But from a county perspective, given all of the constitutional and state mandates that we have, to not be included in the constitutional revenue sharing formula, it's kind of a hard pill to swallow.
Interesting. And one other thing that really struck me that you said was you pretty much go to all the hearings unless it has to do with, I think you said two.
Insurance and education.
Yeah.
We don't really go to insurance and education unless they slip labor bills in the education committee.
Right. I thought that was
which
funny.
They're known to do.
Okay. So. All right. Well, thanks. So we'll move over to Tom now. Tell me a little bit about what you do with the Townships Association and kind of some of the hot issues that you guys are focused on right now.
Well, again, I'm the legislative liaison for the Michigan Townships Association, and we do similar things to the other two organizations. We advocate on behalf of our members. Generally, we have 1,240 townships in the state, and over 99% of those are members of our organization. So we represent them before the legislature and advocate on behalf of legislation that is either favorable or unfavorable. If it's unfavorable, obviously we'll try to change that along the way if we can, or in some cases kill it so that it doesn't become law. But,
okay. Great. I see you have your own podcast, and I saw the most recent episode had to do with some assessing bills that you guys got passed last term. That was kind of a big issue for you?
Right. Assessing reform was a big issue for us. As I mentioned in a session prior to this, probably the biggest issue for us in lame duck, in that it was legislation that was, when it was introduced, was very unfavorable towards our township supervisors and assessors that serve in that capacity. And by the time there were many changes that were made with the legislation throughout the process, and we originally opposed the bill, but by the time it was ready for a vote on the floor, we actually supported the legislation. So,
and I think that's an important point to Chris. A lot of what you guys do is kind of moving things around. It's like there's a bill out there, and you make tweaks and things that to make it more accommodating or more, you know, pleasant to the membership. Is that kind of a lot of what you do behind the scenes?
I mean, I think one of the things that is so different from what we do, when you say the dirty word lobbying, I think our three organizations are much more policy focused than lobbying focused. So when we talk about that word advocacy, we really do a lot more advocacy than lobbying. You know, we get into the conversations with the legislators and try and shape legislation. Hopefully we get to shape it before they turn it in. Most of the time they forget to talk to us, and so we end up trying to shape it after the fact. But I know when Tom talks about the assessing bill, it was a huge amount of conversation once from the time we were presented the proposal from the state treasurer to introduction to the first hearing to then a series of work group hearings over the summer. Public work group hearings over the summer and listening tour, and then internal work group hearings with the interest groups, so the three of our organizations, we were able to, I mean, I would say we changed that bill 180 degrees with all the input from members and the work that we all were able to put into it.
Right. Tell a little bit, Chris, about what the Michigan Municipal League, we talk about our organization all the time on this podcast, but just real quick, what is it we do and what are some of the issues you've worked with MAC and MTA on, even recently?
I mean, I think, when you look at our three organizations, it's pretty interesting because Dina's group, the counties, really represent all of our members as well. Because all of our communities are located within a county.
Okay.
And there's a regular interaction between the township or the city or village and the county on any number of things. You could have even from the roads aspect, where you've got county roads and city roads running through communities. So we're constantly working together, and I think you see that in the legislature, where our three organizations, 9 times out of 10, when we go up to testify on a piece of legislation, it's our three organizations testifying together, mm-hmm. or testifying, consecutively saying the same message. And you saw that a little bit when you mentioned the local government committee this week.
Right.
All of us talked about the importance of municipal finance, the importance of revenue sharing, the importance of funding our communities the right way, and what we do, and all the services, the local services that are provided. So that's when you look at what cities do and what our partner organizations do, it is those direct services that are provided to residents every day. Okay. And that's that difference, I think, than what you see a lot of times with state services.
Right. Now, all three of you mentioned testifying at that hearing. You guys all did talk about, you know, some type of municipal finance reform. Dina, what's our chances of seeing something, you think, on that issue, municipal finance reform?
I think that there's going to be significant conversations, that you know, over the next 2 years, I'm going to say. Okay. It's not something that's going to happen overnight.
Right.
We're not going to get wholesale changes. You know, I don't think that we're going to eliminate, you know, local government finance and then have to all of a sudden recreate it, you know, overnight like they did with school funding.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's going to be significant conversations. The problem that we run into is that anytime you talk about local government finance, you have to talk about the state's responsibility to the local units. Well, you know, once legislators are at the state level, they're very much worried about the state budget.
Okay.
And it takes a whole lot of work to get them to remember the community that they live in, you know, and the needs and the services that are provided, because they may not see them all. And so really stressing the importance of it, you know, is our challenge.
What are the, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think one of the things that's important, again, for our listeners on this, especially our members who might be listening, is they'll hear that response from the administration or from their legislator of, oh, well, there's no money. You know, I'd really love to put more money in, but there's nothing there. And it's important to remind them that there's a $55 billion budget out there that they get to make the choice on every single one of those items and what becomes a priority.
Right.
They made choices this last year and every year on what they were going to fund, where they were going to put money into. There, you know, $20 million went here, $35 million went here. When you look at every other area of the budget, you've seen significant prioritization for those areas of the budget. That hasn't been the case for revenue sharing and for local governments. And I think that's something that they have the choice to do.
You know, I think that one thing they have to remember, and something that we reiterate all the time when we're talking to them, is that when the economy took a downturn, you know, and property values dropped, and the taxable values dropped, and it takes, you know, a whole heck of a long time for local units to recover from that downturn in the economy, from the loss of that property tax revenue. We're limited by 5% of the rate of inflation, whichever is less. And so our growth opportunity is small, very, very small and incremental, especially when you factor in, you know, Proposal A and Headley.
And the state can recover a lot faster.
You know, all of that. But the state is dependent on income tax and sales tax and use tax and, you know, business taxes. And so
gas tax.
Although a gas tax, but when the economy drops, their revenue drops, absolutely.
Yeah.
But when the economy recovers, they bounce back significantly faster.
Right. Our communities will take years and years and
years. Years and years and years. Now, the state's, you know, recovers almost immediately.
Right. Well, so, we've experienced the same decline as they did, but we're not experiencing the same recovery. So that's tough. What are some differences as far as maybe what your members at MAC or Township want versus what the city members want? Do they all kind of want the same type of issues? Is it all municipal reform, or is there some ways maybe they are a little different as far as the needs of your membership that does sometimes have you guys, you know, tweaking messaging a little bit? I'll say it politely there instead of saying fighting against each other.
You're just stirring the pot. Wow, I know.
Yeah, I think for the most part, we do have very similar goals, and our members do as well.
Yeah.
You know, one issue that comes to mind that we may differ in a little bit is just revenue sharing in general. While we all support it, we may have our own vested interest as far as how our members and how our organizations feel the formula should be divided among the various organizations and their members.
Right.
I think a lot of that conversation that Tom just talked about is driven by the fact that we've all been underfunded so long.
Yes.
We're fighting over scraps with each other, and that's not the position we should be in. Mm-hmm. If we were in a position where we had been supported by the state as a partner all along, I think you'd see a much different, as we talk about some of those funding issues, you'd see a little different, I think, a little different approach. But I think that's why you see all three of us at the table saying, it's got to change.
Yeah.
We're all advocating to the legislature, you've got to make this right.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's kind of, go ahead, Dina. Were you going to say something? She's like,
hesitate. It's my favorite issue. And we've been fighting about it for years and years and years. And we definitely differ on tax capture districts.
What does that mean? Oh, like TIFs.
Like TIFs. And, okay. Yep. Yep. Tax like capture. Your, you know, downtown development authorities and those types of. Yes. And the reason that we differ on that is because, you know, prior to 1994, counties didn't have a say whether or not they wanted to participate in these districts and have their taxes captured. And so whatever was created prior to 1994, you know, we can't get out of.
Right.
We can't even get out of the ones that were created after 1994
if we agree. Was that
through
Proposal A? Is that what that was? No, or is that
no, this is just something a little bit different.
Okay.
But, you know, it's an issue because county government, county boards of commissioners have a fiduciary responsibility to pay for all those services that we just talked about.
Right.
And so to not have any say in whether or not our millages are captured or for how long they are captured for whatever economic development activity is a problem for us. And we should be able to be an equal partner. Not saying they're all bad, guys. Not wanting to put anybody
really
out of business.
I'm really not trying to cause a war here.
Not saying that they shouldn't pay their dues. But
right. Yeah,
but
I understand.
But that's it. That's probably one that we battle over.
And I think and even over the years as Dean and I have had this conversation, and I know with Tom and his colleagues at MTA, we all readily admit, again, going back to this point of, if we weren't in the situation we are financially, this is a much different topic to tackle organizationally. But because of where we are, because we're looking under every rock for every dime we can to fund the services that we have to fund,
right.
That's where these conflicts sometimes come up.
Right.
But for the most part, I think, you know, because of that, we work arm in arm on all the different, you know, obligations. We just went through pension and OPEB reform, and we were all right there lockstep with each other that, you know, you have to pay attention to what's happening at the local level and our obligations and stop starving us to death.
Right.
I think we don't want to eat each other alive.
Right. That's important. I think, you know, me as a former journalist like to focus on the one little kind of sexy thing, the things you disagree on. But I think, you know, obviously 90% or more of the issues you guys agree on. Mm-hmm. One good example is that you're all part of the Save My City initiative that the league helped start. And, you know, that's an effort to reform the state's municipal finance system. We appreciate your involvement with that. It's important to us because I know when we go out there and talk about it, it has a lot more weight when we're all sitting around the table on the same side than if just the league would come to ask for something or the county would come on their own. But having the three organizations together seems to have a lot more power. And we really are listened to. You guys talked about it on the assessment issue. You know, it seems like they really care about getting your guys' support when they go and pass bills and stuff. Is that not the case?
It depends.
It depends
on the issue, really. And it depends on who's on the other side of it.
Okay.
You know, there weren't necessarily any other interest groups very vested in the assessing issue.
Right.
But, you know, if there are other interest groups that are very vested in something and we're on the opposite side, it takes a lot for our voice to be heard.
Yeah, and I think that's why it is so important for the three organizations to stick together on issues, because we're kind of unique as far as our viewpoint on certain things, and when we work together, we are more effective, I think, before the legislature, and we do have a bit of a challenge this time around because many of the new members coming into the House and Senate don't have that local government background, so it's important for our organizations and our members to educate those new members of the legislature on the needs of local units of governments and counties. Critical.
Great. All right. Well, thank you. Chris, did you want to add last thing?
I was just going to say, it's interesting. There will be, each of us will have issues that are important to us and may not be as important to someone else. But when it comes time to dig in on those or go in and testify, you know, there have been opportunities where Dina's like, hey, this issue is really important. Can you support me on this? Absolutely.
Okay.
Or nice. Or vice versa.
Might not be your issue, but it's like, you know what? I wouldn't mind throwing them a bone.
I'm there to support you as well. So we're going in and we'll put in cards of support and letters of support with legislators saying, yeah, we're behind what the counties or the townships are working on here, or vice versa.
That's good.
And I think that's a testament to how each of us understands the importance of being unified as much as possible.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree.
Well, good. Well, I appreciate your time, Dina Bosworth, Director of Government Affairs for MAC, and Tom Frazier with MTA, and Chris Hagbarth, the Michigan Municipal League. I appreciate you sitting down and having this chat. There wasn't any fighting. No one drew blood.
Dina will stand.
That's behind the scenes. Totally behind the scenes.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thanks,
Michigan Politics Hot.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.